Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now, there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You ever fall into a rabbit hole online? And then after you've been in that rabbit hole for a while, you come out the other side wondering how humanity is still functioning? Yeah. That's why researching the incel movement and the community is quite the rabbit hole. And it's one you want to get out of because it just feels icky inside. What began as a lonely internet forum for the romantically unsuccessful, it does have fairly innocent beginnings. And is actually started by a woman. And it's devolved into something that has absolutely nothing to do to its original intent. It's devolved into something very sinister. A digital wasteland where bitterness curdles into misogyny and isolation fuels ideology. Welcome to the world of involuntary celibates, everyone, or incels. It's a subculture that's no longer just sad or strange, but it's dangerous, very dangerous. And we're going to break down here in the next four episodes is what it's all about. Because we hear the term quite a bit, we talk about it quite a bit, because unfortunately, it seems a lot of the folks we end up following on this program that end up being killers seem to have tendencies of incels. So it's best to have an understanding of what it's all about. We're going to talk about Elliot Rodger, maybe the Rodger inspiration for the Papa Rodger of Brian Koberger and the online persona. We're going to talk about what he did, what others have done in his name, and how this bizarre, dark, self-destructive disorder, because it ain't a lifestyle. It's a disorder. Does, and how to spot it before it's too late in those around you. So, press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts, so you don't miss any of our four-part coverage on this. Let me know what you think in the comments section. So in this first episode of this series, we're going to be cracking open the festering underbelly of the incel world, its origins, its warped beliefs, its psychological roots, and why law enforcement is now calling it a domestic terror threat. If you thought this was just about guys not getting dates, well, buckle up. It is far, far more than just that. So, what is this? What is the incel movement? It's short for involuntary celibate, a term that once had a benign origin story. It was coined in the 1990s by a Canadian woman trying to create a supportive online space for people struggling with romantic rejection. Think of it as an early Reddit meets a therapy chat room. Vulnerable, awkward, human. But then the internet did what the internet does. It twisted vulnerability into venom. Over time, men, primarily young and heterosexual, dominated the space. The tone shifted from support to self-pity, from loneliness to loathing. What was once a shared pain point became a manifesto of entitlement and rage. Today's incel community largely resides in digital echo chambers, forums that exist out there. I'm not going to name them here, but they're out there. Certain threads on message board obscure corners of Reddit before they were shut down, where users reinforce the belief that women are to blame for their misery. They believe the dating world is a rigid game where shallow women chase genetically superior men and the rest are left to rot. The modern incel doesn't seek connection or change, however. He wants validation for his resentment. Yeah, nothing like looking in yourself and saying, maybe it's me. Maybe there's something I'm doing that's making me not attractive to the opposite sex. Could it possibly be that? Nah, it's them. It's a very infantile way of thinking. So, the incel worldview, it operates like a dark fantasy novel, complete with its own terminology. You ready for this? The term Chad, a conventionally attractive, confident guy who seemingly has unlimited access to sex and affection. This is from the incel's perspective of what they think they're seeing out there. Then there's the Stacy, the blonde bombshell archetype who incels see as shallow, manipulative, and sexually available only to Chads. The incel, meanwhile, casts himself as the tragic anti-hero, kind, intelligent, and invisible. They speak of normies with disdain, viewing average people who engage in successful romantic relationships as deluded sheep. Then comes the black pill, the philosophical backbone of inceldom. Unlike the red pill, popularized by men's rights activists or activists as a supposed awakening to society's feminist lies, as they say, the black pill is nihilistic. It's the belief that nothing can ever improve. That no matter how much self-work you do, your fate is sealed by your jawline or your height. It's predestination in a basement. Is basically what it is. Taking the black pill means giving up on self-improvement. It's a descent into fatalism. It says you're doomed and your women and women are your worst enemy. You know, a real healthy outlook on life. The incel identity could have remained a sad corner of the internet, but over the last decade, it's evolved into something far more disturbing. As those platforms like Reddit and YouTube crack down on overt hate speech, incel communities became more insular, more radical. These aren't just forums for venting anymore. They're breeding grounds for resentment, contempt, and in some cases, violence. The shift towards extremism came in waves. Initially, the language was passive. Passive-aggressive, you could say. Women were hyper-glamorous or gamorous, always dating up, irrational, or only attracted to status. But slowly, the darker tone took over. Posts began glorifying violence against women or women, praising mass shooters like Elliot Rodger, who we'll get into in just a little bit, and fantasized about a dystopian world where sex is rationed and women are punished for choosing partners. The language became militarized, basically, calling for an incel rebellion. References to a beta uprising, a culture of martyrdom emerged, where men who committed acts of violence were hailed as heroes. Elliot Rodger wasn't just a killer, he was canonized. This wasn't frustration anymore, it was ideology. And that's dangerous. When you take some sort of anger or hate or view of a slight, as a lot of it would start. And you never look at yourself. You never look at, well, how can I live a better life? How can I make things work out better for me? But that black pill culture is what they live on. There is no self-improvement. It's everyone else is wrong and I'm right. And that's it. Eventually, you would think people would snap out of that and maybe want to improve, or others choose to destroy. And that's where you get the Elliot Rodger or the Brian Koberger. It's easy to characterize incels as greasy teenagers shouting into the void, but the psychology is a lot more complicated and deeply troubling. According to mental health studies, many incels struggle with severe depression, anxiety, and feelings of social rejection. One study found that nearly 20% of incels experience daily suicidal ideation. That's not a red flag. That's a five-alarm fire. Neurodivergent traits are also overrepresented. A significant number of incel forum users exhibit signs of autism spectrum disorder, social communication difficulties, and anxiety disorders. This doesn't excuse the ideology, but it does explain why many members struggle to form social bonds and experience isolation and gravitate towards more rigid belief systems. The most important psychological factor, though, is what researchers call aggrieved entitlement. It's the belief that these men are owed love, affection, and sex, owed it. And that the denial of these things is not just unfortunate, but unjust. It's not just self-pity, it's perceived injustice, and perceived injustice is a powerful motivator, especially when it finds community and reinforcement. Incels believe women hold all the sexual and romantic power in modern society. That power, in their eyes, is not earned, but stolen. So instead of viewing women as equals or even as individuals, they become villains in a rigid, rigid system. This cognitive distortion, combined with a lack of healthy social interaction, it creates a feedback loop of resentment, basically. So how does someone go from a sad sack with a blog to a domestic terror threat? The product of radicalization within incel forums is disturbingly predictable. It starts with isolation, maybe from trauma, bullying, or mental illness, or a combination of it all. The person seeks connection online and finds others who feel the same. And instead of being challenged, their beliefs are validated. Instead of being guided to help, they're given ideology. And once inside the bubble, every bad date, every job rejection, every slight becomes evidence of a conspiracy against them. The posts they read glorify men like Elliot Rodger and Alec Minnison. These aren't cautionary tales. They're role models to them. Every time another man commits a violent act and leaves behind an incel-flavored manifesto, the forums light up like it's the 4th of July. Memes are made. Acronyms like ER, Elliot Rodger, are thrown around as slang. The internet makes a martyr of a murderer. The rhetoric escalates. Members go from passively consuming hate to producing it. They write fantasy stories about killing women. They plan hypothetical attacks. They fantasize about legislation that would force women to have sex with them. Because that's how it works. Legislation, guys. Go for that. It's not just unhinged. It's a breeding ground for real-world threats. Authorities were slow to act on the threat of incel violence because for a while, who took internet nerds seriously, right? But then the bodies started piling up. After Elliot Rodger murdered six people in Isla Vista in 2014, Alec Minnison drove a van through a crowd in Toronto, killing 10. Scott Varelli walked into a yoga studio and opened fire. Chris Harper Mercer shot up his community college. All of them referenced incel ideology, either explicitly or through online activity. Eventually, law enforcement began to see a pattern. In 2020, Texas law enforcement issued a bulletin warning that incel ideology has the potential to eclipse other domestic threats. The U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center followed suit, identifying misogynistic extremism as a growing source of mass violence. Now, behavioral threat assessment is part of a playbook. Officers are trained to look for signs, obsessive messaging, idolization of violent figures, disturbing online activity. But the challenge remains. There's no clear profile. You can't predict who will snap. Some quietly plot. Others explore. And then they explode suddenly. The internet provides both the fuel and the anonymity to help them do it. It's not just about creepy forums. It's about real women who get harassed, stalked, and in some cases, killed. Like Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, and Zana Kernodle. And the man, the Chad, as Brian Koberger likely saw him, Ethan Chapin. Collateral damage. With rage. Now these folks normalize this hate under the guise of free expression. It's about the boys in high school reading these forums instead of talking to a counselor. It's about the social shrug we give to male loneliness until it turns violent. Incels don't exist in a vacuum. They're the product of a culture that shames males' vulnerability, but rewards dominance. They emerge from childhoods where emotions were either ignored or punished. And when they hit puberty and encounter rejection, there's no toolkit for how to cope. And they turn to rage and Reddit. Fixing this isn't just about deplatforming or calling people out. It's about addressing the underlying issues that incubate incel ideology. If you want it to change, you got to look at what is causing this. And that means serious investment in mental health for young men. It means reshaping how we talk about masculinity, not as dominance or stoicism, but as resilience, empathy, and connection. It means creating real-world alternatives to online radicalization, mentorships, peer support, actual inclusive sex education. It also means not looking away. The more we pretend this is just a fringe internet noise, the more we allow it to grow. The incel community thrives on neglect. They believe no one understands them and society doesn't care. So, let's try and understand the threat they pose. And by cutting off the pipeline that feeds it. So, yeah. This isn't just about guys who can't get dates. It's about ideology, mental illness, misogyny, and violence all stirred together into a toxic stew and served cold on anonymous message boards. Now that we've peeled the lid back, we get a better idea of what's inside. In our next episode, we're going to walk through the case that made the world take notice. Elliot Rodger, who he was, what he believed, and how his self-made mythology launched an entire movement. And it's horrifying. There's your spoiler alert, everyone. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss our continuing coverage and our continuing exploring of the incel invasion. Be sure to let us know what your thoughts are in the comment section on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.